God, I sense your presence here in an incredible measure. And Father, I pray, Lord, God, that you would take us where you want to take us today, Lord. That God, when we go through the transitions of life, you want to bring us to that appointed season and that appointed set time. And God, I declare that over this congregation today and over every life that's here. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to share something with you. Again, our reference is in 2 Kings 7, 1 through 18. And you can refer to that and look it up and have it before you. But I want to share with you a prophetic word that God gave me this morning. It was around 6:40. I've had times like that when I've been fasting and praying that I, particularly in Maine, when I would go and get away and go out into a camp or go out into the woods, just get alone with God, God would speak to me. But this morning, he spoke a prophetic word for this church, and I want to share it with you today. This is what he spoke to my heart. My people, I set before you an open door. No, a wide gate. You will walk through it into a new season of my blessings and glory, says the Lord. A determined, set, appointed time that I have established for this church long ago. A season of my suddenlies, of great blessings and spiritual harvest. Be strong and courageous. Keep your eyes on me and your hearts aligned with mine. During this set appointed time of my blessing and favor, there will be signs and wonders and miracles and increase will be upon you and upon your lives and upon this church. Walk diligently before me in holiness and righteousness. I am coming soon. I am coming soon. Sell out to me in all areas of your life, and I will bless and prosper you, says the Lord. Now, I'm just the messenger. That's what God gave to me this morning. And when I was writing that, my hand was shaking. And I said, God, I will give this to your people because it is a new season for this church. You say, what does that mean? I don't know. I just know it's a new season. So I want to, man, if I had about three titles to the message, I'll give them to you. You can pick one. This is our appointed time. This is our due season. That's probably the one we'll settle on. And this is our set time. Or, if you like this one, we need to push through until we break through. I tell you, there's a breakthrough coming for you. And there's a breakthrough coming for this church. But it's only going to come for those who are steadfast. Our text tells us in 2 Kings that there was a famine condition that had entered into Samaria. But God always has a man. God always has a woman. God always has a prophet. There are true prophets and false prophets. And God had raised up Elisha to give the word to this particular region, even if the people were not going to receive it when they were in turmoil and in great perplexity. Some of you are walking through some valleys. Some of you are walking through some difficult times. Last week we spoke. I really feel like God is wants to give us a rhema word for this kairos time. What does that mean? A personal word for this special set time that he has for us. Beloved, when God spoke to my heart last week and confirmed it again this morning, I felt in my heart it was a door. And he said, no, it's not a door, son. It's a gate. It's a wide gate. And we got to be ready and prepared for what God wants to do. And so here was this chaos in the midst of this famine condition. And what happens? What happens? God gives a rhema word. In the middle of chaos and confusion and starvation, what does he say? The prophet of God says, tomorrow about this time. Tomorrow about this time. You see, God is taking us from transition to an appointed time for this church. You don't have to believe it. I really want you to believe it, but I got enough belief for everyone here today. I believe that God is moving by his Spirit. I'm tired of hearing about this being a graveyard for preachers and churches. Yeah, it might be tough. But what I read to you earlier about what's happening and what ISIS is doing to these children, that's tough. I'm telling you, I read my Bible. The Bible says the fields are white unto harvest and they're ripe. And God said, listen, son, you don't have to worry. Whenever I take someone out, I will bring people in. I will bring in seasoned people filled with the Holy Ghost that are hungry for more of God. I will raise up people in the church in discipleship that will come to Sunday school and ministries and be a part of that, but to grow and study my word. You see, even in the time of lack, God will raise up a man, raise up a woman. I believe God birthed me for this message this morning, for this season in life, in my own life, and for the life of this church. Tomorrow, about this time. Oh, that'll preach. That'll preach. Tomorrow, about this time. You see, for every promise, for every prophecy, for every dream, there's a set time. There's an appointed time. I waited 40 years to go to Africa. But you see, God, in the fullness of time, he sent forth his son. Time is a great commodity. We would do well not to waste it. It's an appointed time for that word or that dream to be manifested. You see, it's no different than the natural. A seed has to be sown. That seed has to go in the ground, and it has to germinate, it has to die. You see, the death, burial, and resurrection of a vision. Some of you have had a vision. Some of you have had a word from God, and you have waited long, long, long for it. And it seems to be delayed. But God's delays do not always indicate his denials. I want to tell somebody, it doesn't matter what man thinks about you, as long as God approves. If you are called, you are called. If you're called, God doesn't call you unless you unqualify yourself. But he's always there to pick us up when we need. There's a due season. I've come here today. I've come all the way from across town to come here today and say, this is our due season. This is our appointed time. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But as surely as a seed is planted and it's kept in the ground and properly taken care of, there will be a due season. There will be a harvest. What does Pastor Wayne see? What I see right now is I see a harvest. I see God bringing them in from the north, the south, and the east, and the west. You said you've been preaching that for 10 years. Yeah. I have been preaching it for 10 years by faith. When God spoke to Gail and I and said, you're going to go to a place of hills and valleys, and I'm going to pour out my spirit in unprecedented fashion, we've held on to that dream and that vision for 10 years. And God says to me, son, it's the appointed time. It's a new day. New day. New day. A due season. A harvest will come. I've seen a due season, an appointed time, a set time of harvest. I believe when God spoke that word of prophecy this morning, I see it for New Life Christian Center. I don't know. I'm not putting any numbers. I'm not putting any stats on it. I just want to be faithful. I just want to believe it with all my heart and leave the rest to God. But I know that we're in a due season. One of the hardest things to do is to wait on God. Come on, church. That's one of the hardest things to do, Zippy. Or I'll say, Zipporah. It's to wait on God. But some of you have been waiting on God for a long time. You've been waiting for a due season. You've been waiting for a set time. You've been believing God for a miracle. Hallelujah. A miracle. And I see it coming to New Life Christian Center and in our lives personally. One of the hardest things is to wait. We get a prophecy. We get a word from God. And if it doesn't come to fruition yesterday or if not sooner, we get discouraged. Come on. Don't pray for patience. You'll get tribulation. Because tribulation worketh patience. Amen. Be careful how you pray. You heard me pray. I said, God, I never want to pastor a church in a house. First church I pastored was in a house. Be careful how you pray. Don't say I'll never do that. Ask Roger. He said, I don't know if I will. And my wife spoke a word in Sunday school, and he went to Africa with us. Be careful how you pray. Psalms 105:19. I could spend the entire message on this, but I won't. Until the time that his word came, the word of the Lord tried him. Speaking of Joseph. Oh, time will try us. Will it not? We're believing God for a miracle, for our healing. Time will try us. It will try us. Joseph had a word from God, a dream, and that word from God, it tested him. Listen, time will test us. Time will test us. Hallelujah, to see if we will hold on to the word or the dream or if we will abort it. I've come to church today to tell some of you that have been waiting for your miracle, don't abort that miracle before it happens. Hang in there. There's a set appointed time. Hallelujah. God's going to bring it to fruition. Time is a great sifter through which our dreams must pass. Time tests our faith. It challenges us to prove whether we believe God or not. What we do in transition, the waiting period, is the critical part. You know, I felt it was very important for me to talk to our youth on Friday night and assure them they're not going to be left alone. Number one, Jesus is their King. He is their Lord. We got groups coming from two or three different churches. Matter of fact, first time I ever heard the youth worship team, I got extremely blessed. God is moving by His Spirit. God shifts things around. You see, time is a great sifter, a great sifter, a great trier. And there's a set time for our word and our dream to come to pass. God has established a time for that word to be manifested. Remember Hannah as she carried a Samuel for 9 months in her womb before there was a birth? You and I must also carry His word, the Lord, the dream, the passions of Christ, the promise of God in our spiritual womb. Now, I'm not a woman, obviously. But I'm going to talk to some women today who have given birth to children. You know what I'm talking about. I don't know what I'm talking about. I've been there, almost passed out. But there's a lot of things that are similar in the spiritual. There's a lot of people that want a birth, but they haven't even gotten pregnant yet. I'm talking spiritually speaking. I'm not talking weird. I'm not talking crazy. But you just know there's something inside of you that's just about ready to come out. The blessings of God. But women, you know what you go through before that actually happens, before that miracle of life comes. You see, you don't get pregnant by just hearing the word once. The word has to be in your heart. You can't dust it off once a week and pick it up and expect to be fluent in the word of God. Beloved, we need to be like the sons of Issachar. Come on, church. We need to know the seasons and the time, and we ought to know what Israel ought to do. We got to be in the word. Hallelujah. You say, I always got my Bible. You don't know. I always got my iPad. I always got this. I always got that. You never know when that could be taken away. But they cannot take the word of God off the tablets of our heart. And we need to examine ourselves. We know that women get pregnant, and you can tell they're pregnant. Everything about them is pregnant. How they walk is pregnant. How they look is pregnant. How they talk is pregnant. They can't sit where they used to sit. Come on. Everything she looks and says and looks at, you just know she's pregnant. And before long, then as she walks and talks like she's pregnant. And I've come to town to tell you, not being weird or anything, but this church is pregnant. You never come back. I'm getting you while you're here. We are spiritually pregnant. We have given birth in the past. But listen to me, honey. Listen to me, sir. You haven't seen anything yet. This is a set appointed time for God. It's a setup for God to show up. God, listen, Jesus is coming soon. It's a due date. See, as she gets closer, this woman, this mama, to her due date, she gets more uncomfortable. She can't fit into the clothes she used to be able to fit into. Come on. When we are really pregnant with the promises of God, you know what happens? We start growing out of things that we don't need. When we are pregnant with the promises of God, we start growing out of some things that take up all of our time, take up all of our energy. That's important. The things that used to matter, they don't matter anymore. In other words, you and I are not satisfied with the things the way that they've been all of our life. I'm preaching to some hungry folk today. I'm preaching to some people that aren't waiting to get a steak this afternoon or go out to Applebee's or some other place. Maybe your stomach might be having fellowship with your backbone. You might be a little hungry. But I believe more than that physical hunger, there's deep in this church, there's deep in the womb of new life, a hunger and a thirst for righteousness and for holiness and for a move of God. I'm tired of religion. I want relationship. I want God to move here in a sovereign way. I don't want it to be Wayne's world. I want it to be God's world. Hallelujah. We have an expectation of something greater. And that's the way we feel about this church. Gail and I, we feel that. Yes, transition is never easy. Transition is never glamorous. But God will never take someone out, but that he'll not lead somebody in. I've learned a long time ago, I'm not indispensable. Matter of fact, if I'm a good pastor, this church will run very well without me. Because it's founded on Christ. Hallelujah. A pregnant woman has a tendency of experiencing extreme mood swings. And the men said, "You didn't dare, did you?" He said, "Pastor, my mama didn't raise a fool. I'm not addressing that." I mean, sometimes they'll laugh. Sometimes they'll cry. Can I tell you that when we're pregnant with the promises of God, sometimes we'll cry and sometimes we'll shout. You say, "Pastor, I've turned my shouter off because I'm in the turmoil." Well, the Holy Ghost will turn that shouter back on, whatever that is. I don't have a scripture for it. But you know what? Some of you have lost your shout. You're going to regain it. Or if you're dignified and it's not a shout, you'll regain your whisper. The Bible says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning us." How do you think the Holy Spirit sweeped through Africa? John Angel got up there and testified about how he and our daughter got pregnant. They lost their baby. Some of those kids were hard. But when he was sharing that testimony, the Spirit of God came across that land, swept through, and there were some of the 50 kids, the hardest kids on that campus of that school. They waited 3 hours for us to be there. The Spirit of God sovereignly moved like a breath, like a wind, and it blew them. They came forward. It blew them off their feet, and they were in the dirt rolling, and the power of God had hit them, and they never saw anything like that, and a hand wasn't even laid on them. When you have the hand of the Holy Ghost on you, you say, "I don't believe in that stuff." You better be careful. When the hand of God gets on you, you believe it. That's how 600 people got saved. Why? Because you people were fasting and praying and giving. Hallelujah, but the half has not been told of what God wants to do. We have an expectation of something greater. And I feel that new life has that expectation of something greater. And you know, sometimes the closer we get to birth, we get uncomfortable. Some of you that are here today, you're uncomfortable. Maybe some of you have never walked into a service like this, and it might be new to you. You say, "My preacher doesn't sweat like that. Worship doesn't look like that. It doesn't take all that." No, it takes more. It takes intimacy with God and a hunger for God. Hallelujah. The things that used to matter, they don't matter anymore. A pregnant woman has a tendency of experiencing these mood swings for no reason. No reason. Never mind pickles and ice cream. I'm a good husband. I just eat the pickles and ice cream with them. And all of a sudden, there's a smile, and you're bursting out in quiet. You see, some of you that have been sedate, some of you that have been dignified, some of you that have been reserved, deep down inside of the reservoir of your heart is the truth of God that wants to explode. Not that you have to be loud, not that you have to jump, not that you have to shout to get blessed. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. But beloved, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. He's worthy. You say, "Pastor, you don't know how crushed I am. I'm in this transition between my testimony, and I don't know what's going to happen next." Praise him. If a child can lay down their life for Jesus Christ and will not deny the truth, then every child of God that's breathing God's air can stand up to the truth of the gospel and give thanks for something. Has God not been good to you, church? Has God not been good to New Life? He's been real good to us. Some of you have been seeking employment and he's blessed you. Some of you have been praying, oh God, breathe upon my family, help me, bless me. We have prayed as a church, God bless us. We're not into the prosperity the way that, you know, that we think that, you know, that we're just going to get rich. That's not the thing about it. We've never seen the righteous forsaken nor a seed out begging bread. God provides. Listen, you think the mission trip to Africa is something? Wait until if Jesus tarries the other trips that God's going to take us on. But how about right here in our backyard? It's a due season. It's a set time. See, just like it is physically, it is spiritually. It may be the time where we feel sedate, but then the Spirit of God comes and the presence of God comes. And our hearts that used to be hard and accustomed to the moving of God, we become gentle. The one who has walls built up because of way back when, how they were treated or whatever. And those walls, there's a fence there. Nobody's going to take me. There's people that have issues with leadership and issues with people that are in authority. God's going to crash that thing down in your life. And he's going to cause you to be able to trust again. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. Acknowledge him in all your ways and you shall direct your path. In the spiritual, there's usually a great warfare that transpires before the miracle. That's why you're in a battle. It's a battlefield, brother, not a recreation hall. It's fight, not a game. Run if you want to, run if you will, but I've come here to stay. As far as I'm concerned, Gail, look at me, sweetie. Smile. We're lifers. There's nothing else. There's nothing else that could compare to serving God. You can try to go out and get high. You can get all the money in the world. Look at Hollywood. Look what's going on in the NFL. Look what's going on in life. The only thing that's stable is the rock, Christ Jesus. You say, but Pastor, it hasn't happened. Oh, but I got good news for you. Tomorrow, about this time. I don't want to scare you. I feel like I could jump over the state, but I'm not going to do it. I want to live. I feel like abundant blessing is about ready to hit and overtake New Life. But in our text, it got worse before it got better. Remember, there's no testimony without a test. That appointed time. Hallelujah. That appointed time. There was even something that had taken place that I won't really get into in detail, but right here in that city where they were under siege, cannibalism had taken place. They were in desperate straits. They didn't have anything to eat. They had no food. When every natural evidence disputed the word of God, and it looked worse than better, I just want to pronounce another thing that I feel. I did the series about 4 years ago, but there's a season of suddenlies. You're not going to have to work it up. God is going to come. Patty got out of bed this morning. She was sick. She wanted to stay home. She said, I need to be there in the house of God. There's a hunger. I sense a hunger in this body. Look at your pastor. I'm hungry for God. I'm not hungry for the assemblies of God. I'm hungry for God. I'm glad to be a card carrier, but I'm hungry for God. I'm not hungry for some Pentecostal movement or to have a certain banner flying all over this church. More than that, I want the banner of approval that God would see that we're hungry people and that we want him tomorrow about this time. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There was just so much going on. For every natural evidence, it tried to dispute the word of God. But you know what? Four lepers, they couldn't get into the city because they had leprosy. You're not allowed inside. There's somebody here, you feel like you have spiritual leprosy, like you've never had confidence, you've always felt inferior. You're looking at a pastor that used to take a zero on his oral book report. I could not get before people. I'm not going to do the Elvis thing. Gail says I don't do that very well, so I'm not going to shake. But I did. Even when I played sports, I went out and pitched, sat on the bench. didn't want to talk to anybody because I didn't feel like I could. I was an introvert. Not because I wanted to be. And at school, I had the answers sometime, but I didn't want to raise my hand and give them because I didn't want to be laughed at. But God can take us where we are and take us to where he wants us to be. Listen, the famine was so strong, but four lepers outside the city gate came with a report. They got up. They said, listen, why sit we here until we die? You know, I love you with all of my heart, but some of you people have been warming the seats for long enough. Come on. Don't check out. Lock the doors. Don't let them leave. You've been enjoying the blessing. Well, it's about time that we get off our gluteus maximus and get into the battle. Say, I don't know if I like that, Pastor. Well, help me out, would you? Just smile at me. Don't throw anything. God, you see, well, I'm a senior citizen. Listen, I'm about ready to go on the river cruise with about 20 or 30 senior citizens. You're around those people? Man, they're not in retirement. They're in refinement. Hallelujah. God's got a work for every one of us to do. Listen, if the schools have our kids all that time, then certainly I prophesy we'll have more than enough workers to meet the need at New Life. More than enough. Can I get a witness? I know some of you are saying amen because you say, if I say amen, that might mean me. But we'll leave that up to the Holy Spirit. There's an abundance of rain. I can hear it. And these four lepers, they get up. Hallelujah, where they were. You see, they're in transition. And God brought them to that set time, that appointed time. And they went into the Syrian camp. And as they walked, every footstep that they took was thunderous. I don't know what happened. I don't know how it sounded. But when you take four lepers, now listen, it's not like they had a spring in their step. They had a leprosy. They might have been going. But every step they took was a step of faith. I prophesy in Jesus' name, God is going to call New Life to take some steps that in the natural would scare us to death. But when God says step, we're going to step. We're going to go forward. We're not going to retreat. We're going forward in Jesus Christ. And it was thunderous, and like it was a great army that was going toward them, and they fled in fear, and they left all the spoils behind. Whatever. That was there, was left. And you say, well, Pastor, what is the point? What is the point? Just before your breakthrough, you're going to be tested. Some of you are going through the greatest tests of your life. Some of you, you know, you just say, I don't know, God. I can't take anymore. My marriage, it seems like there's an attack against my finances or whatever it is. People at work, it's hard. I it's just difficult. Going through school, we got quite a few kids that are going into their freshman year. That's a big adjustment. But you know what? I believe in our young people, and I believe in the kids in this church, and I believe they love Yahweh. And I believe God's going to develop their gifts and talents, and God's going to use them. We got one girl that takes her Bible to school, and she reads it in front of her students, not to broadcast it, but because that's what she does. She said, listen, if they're going to do what they're going to do, I'm going to read the Word of God. Yeah, right. Thank you, Gail. Amen. I applaud that one. God has great things in store. It's time to praise the Lord. It's time to pray. It's time to confess the promises of God. This is a critical time for New Life Christian Center. This is an important time. This is a set time. It is a certain time. This time about tomorrow. God, Galatians 6:9 is moving by his Spirit. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. You know what that word faint means in the original? Means to loosen, to dissolve, to crank, to break down. What is the word saying? You can actually come to your appointed set time, your due season in God, before the manifestation ever comes to fruition. And if you faint, if you crack, if you dissolve, if you loosen, if you break down, you can abort the promise. Listen, come to town to tell you today, we're too close to the promise. We're too close to breakthrough to abort the baby. And I want to say something right here, right now, even if it's not for here, it's for the camera and anyone else. We'll go on our website. If in the natural that has happened to you in your life and you aborted a baby, the wife or the person, or the woman or the male, I'm here to tell you that if you confess your sin, he's faithful and just to forgive of you of your sins, and he'll cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And that if you will ask Jesus Christ to forgive you, he will forgive you. I just felt like I needed to address that, lest you hang your head in shame. You put your head up. If you've asked God to forgive you, he hasn't even, as far as the east is from the west, he's removed it from you. Come on, church. Hallelujah. But I'm telling you what, I've been here for 10 years. I'm too close to the promise to abort this baby now. I have another couple that came about the same time and said, Pastor, if you'll stay here, how many years? Martha, how many years did you say? Remember you said that to me? Yeah. I first came here, Martha said, if you stay 20, we'll stay 20. I don't know if you were in on that, Ron, or not, but you are now. And I'm not here to tell you it's not just about new life. Don't misunderstand me. But listen, God wants you to be planted in a place where you can bloom and blossom. God wants you undercover. God wants you to get planted in the house of God so that you will flourish. Amen? Because we're living in the days where I believe there's a revival that's going to sweep New England. And I want to be in on that. So what is the word saying? We can actually come to that appointed time and miss it. This is our season. This is our set appointed time for a move of God that we've only dreamed of and what we've only hoped for. This time tomorrow. You say, Pastor Wayne, when's it going to happen? I don't know, but it's a set time. It's the appointed time. It's a due season, and it's going to happen. You say, well, I think I'll just retire my skills. I'll rest. I've worked. I'll let somebody else work. Be careful. Be careful. Can I come to New Life today and say that God has need of you? You're not washed up. You're not a loser. You're a winner. And God loves you. Men, I want you to look at this pastor. I need you. I need the men of this church. I need the men of this church. We're the priests of our home. I want to say, I've always felt in my heart that God's going to breathe upon every ministry of this church. And God's going to breathe upon the men of this church that we're going to rise up and be the priests of our home. And God is going to touch the men of this church. I prophesy it in Jesus' name. And use us like we never thought possible. You know why? Because it's a set time. It's a due date. Okay, Pastor, what time is it? I'm going to close with this. Women who are pregnant know this. It's time to push. Come on. Last time I read it, Jesus hasn't left us. It's time to push, Jim. Time to push, Mike. Time to push, Harold. Hey, let's see if I can find somebody sleeping. What time is it? It's time to push. It's pushing time. You know why? Because you got to push through to break through. You know why? Because it's our set time. It's our due season. It's our appointed time. This is not time for fainting. This is time for pushing. This is not a time to cut back. This is a time to go forward. We have had on staff a second full-time person for a year. It was a huge step of faith. We did not have all the money, but we knew that the need was great, and we knew that as a board we had to push. We know now the next step that we're taking, that we're going to need to push forward in that. And God is going to. I'd like to say to us as a church, we must push through transition and walk into the appointed season that God has for new life and that God has for your life. Every head bowed, please. Eyes closed. No one looking around. It's not time to give up. I've been good to you this morning. I haven't even had you talk to your neighbor. It's not time to give up. It's time to push. Those talents that are lying dormant in you, they're about ready to get resurrected. God wouldn't have instilled them, put them in you for nothing. We're pushing through transition into a time of great blessing and overflow of the Holy Spirit and souls and an awesome move of the Holy Spirit, a harvest time. But before that happens, is some of the most trying times that you and I can ever experience in our life. Some of you are going through it. Some of you are feeling it. Some of you are sensing it. Em is praying for the will of God for her life. But my word to you, Em, is keep pushing. Push through, because there's breakthrough. God will let you know right where he wants you. Is there anyone here this morning? You say, Pastor Wayne, that I don't know Christ as my Savior. I just don't, really don't know him. I've not accepted him. But today I'm understanding that my need for him, I need to commit myself to him because I'm lost without him, and I've recognized that, and I would like prayer today. Is there anyone in the auditorium that feels that way? You just want to come to know him. Maybe you've never made that commitment to Jesus Christ. Is there anyone? How about if you're here today and this word somehow is resonating inside your heart and life, and you've been going through a time of transition, and you've been believing God for some things in your life for years, for years, for years. And you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that this is a rhema word and it's resonating in your heart. And you want to step into that appointed time that God has for you. And you don't want to miss it. Just slip your hand up. If you're in that category, slip your hand up. You just don't want to miss it. Thank you. 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 Yeah, you're not raising it to Pastor Wayne. Would you stand with me, please? Hallelujah. I'm going to dismiss in prayer in just a minute. We're going to have our altar workers come. But you know, sometimes we just got to push through to break through, right? It's an appointed time for you. You say, Pastor, all the signs do not point to that. Listen, it's not, I'm going to say this, it's not as it appears. We need to look through it through the eyeglasses of heaven. We need to look through with faith. Believe in God for the impossible. I'd like to have those that are going to assist me. Would you come as I'm praying, please? Father God, I thank you for this beautiful day that you've given. Father, I thank you that this church and individuals here today are about ready to walk into that appointed due season that you have had for us before the foundation of the world. God, for those hands that were raised today, Lord, I believe they were not raising it to Pastor Wayne or to New Life. They were raising their hands to you, Lord, because deep down inside of their innermost being is a desire to walk in victory, a desire to come into the season that you have for them. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that even though our life has been filled with delays, God, we're still believing that they're not necessarily the denials. And so, Father, I pray that you will help us to take that next step, whatever it is, that we would step into our determined destiny, into that due season, about this time tomorrow. And Father, I thank you for your word. And God, I pray today that that word would seep deep in our spirit, man. And that, Father, we would trust you. Father, I don't know everything that you have in store for this church, but I really believe if I get on my face before you and spend time with you, you will reveal it. God, I don't look at this church, and God, I pray that you get us out of our small mentality. We are a great and a mighty army for God. If God be for us, who could be against us? I see you bringing them in from the north, the south, and the east and west. I see people all over this valley that aren't even going to church to pray. I'd like to be at some place. God, I know you've done it in the past, and I know, Lord, when you lead good people out, you're going to bring good people in. And Father, I'm counting on that. I'm believing you for that, Lord. I'm praying, God, for seasoned veterans and carriers of the cross that will come in, Lord, and want to roll up their sleeves and be busy for you, Lord, in that appointed season. God, I pray that we will continue from Sunday school all the way up to every ministry. We will raise up disciples in this church. And, oh, God, I pray for those who don't want accountability. I'm asking right now that Holy Ghost conviction will come upon them, that they'll shake in your presence and they'll be willing to be accountable to you first of all and to come under cover and to lock shields so we can step forth into that appointed time. God, I'm believing this. This is not a word that I would want to make up today. Lord, what you shared with me this morning, I believe with all of my heart it's going to come to fruition. So, Lord, I don't want to wait until then to give you the praise. I want to thank you for the souls that are coming, for the Johns, for the Sallys, for the Sues, for the Jeffreys, for the Michaels, for the families, for the ones that are broken, for the ones, oh God, that no one else might want or discard. God, if they could only find a place where people will love them. But we're not going to compromise the Word of God, but just to love people and care about people. So, Father, I thank you that I'm taking that step right now by faith. And I'm stepping into that season, that appointed time. And I prophesy in Jesus' name to every person who counts this church home. New life, we're stepping into a new season. We're stepping into an appointed time where God is going to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we could ask or think. In the name of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.